Now to set my stopwatch, why don't I do that? Hello there, it's Blind Like Me, I'm Phil Parr, and we've talked with this lady before. It's been, I guess it's been a year or so. Tina, let me see, Tina, if I do your name right, Banseville.
Close enough.
Is the V first or the B first?
The V is first.
Banseville.
There you go.
I had it backwards, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Listen, and you're in sunny California, and I guess it's nice out there today, right?
Yeah, it is.
What we let's just kind of review your eye. You have some vision. You have no vision. I don't remember.
I'm high partial.
So
I do have enough vision to do pretty much things on my own without using a cane, as far as walking and reading. I use reading glasses to read.
But you can't drive the car.
No.
How?
No, my vision's not that good.
How long has it been like this? All your life, or is this new to you, or what?
No, actually, I was born totally blind, and I had eye surgery when I was 13 months old. And then my vision's been this way ever since.
So you were born totally blind, but they were able to actually restore a good bit of your vision, huh?
Yes.
And I guess you went to regular public school?
Yes, except for 1 year. I spent 1 year at the California School for the Blind when it used to be in Berkeley.
I bet 1 year that was enough, huh?
Yeah.
I imagine it was. It took you away from your home and all that that kind of thing. Now, you are on our list that we call the Blind Like Me list, and there's probably a couple hundred people on there. And in our Blind Like Me list, we just talk about whatever comes up. We talk about things that happen to different members of us. We talk about blind products for the blind. We talk about just everything. And that, as far as I'm concerned, makes it a very interesting list because we have a lot of very interesting people. And one of the topics on the list recently has been Tina's citizenship. Well, now, I didn't know that you weren't a citizen. I had no idea what that's all about. So why don't you start at the beginning and tell us your story?
Okay. Well, I was born in Holland. And my father worked for a company that had a office in Amsterdam and then also had a sister office in San Francisco. And when I was born, my mom wanted to see if there were any any way that I could get some type of surgery or something to help me with my vision or my hearing. I was also born hearing impaired as well. And what I had when I was born was something called congenital rubella syndrome. And in Holland, they didn't really know that much about it. And so they found a doctor in San Francisco that was just newly doing cataract surgeries. And so what they did was my father got the transfer to the sister office in San Francisco. And that's where I had my cataract surgery to remove cataracts.
Okay.
And at that time, it was a very new surgery and not performed on a regular basis like it is now.
Uh-huh.
And so we came over as permanent residents, which means that we came over legally, and we came over with not with just a visa, but with permanent resident status, which means that we could stay here on a permanent basis.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, my father insisted that we stay Dutch citizens. And so when I was growing up, in our home, we spoke Dutch. But whenever we were out in public, we were required to speak English. So I learned both languages growing up.
Okay.
And so I never thought about becoming a citizen as a child. And then as an adult, I didn't have the money at the time because it's very expensive to become a citizen. And now I'm in a position where I do have the money and I do have the ability to do it. So I went and applied for my citizenship last April.
Uh-huh.
No, last July, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
And that had a lengthy application, 10 pages, and boy, they ask you everything.
But yet you had been here for basically all your adult life. You've been in this country.
Oh yeah, I went to school here. I was raised here in California, and it took me 50 years to finally be able to have the opportunity to become a citizen.
Okay, as a citizen of Holland, did you have to go register with somebody every year or every 5 years, or how did that work?
Every year I would have to send in what they call a residence card. And what that did was that would tell immigration where I lived and that I was still living in the United States as a permanent resident.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
And I had done that until the law changed. And then when the law changed, that was probably like in 1992, they changed the law where you didn't have to do that every year. Instead, they made it where you only had to do that whenever you would move.
Okay, so you were a citizen of the United States, but they didn't, that you had not registered or signed any papers, government papers, since 1992?
Well, they don't have you sign papers every year. What it is a permanent residence is you carry a permanent resident card.
Okay.
It's like a credit card, and you carry that with you wherever you go, just in case you do happen to be stopped by immigration. And that card is your proof of being a resident of the United States. People who have a visa, it's not the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Because a visa is like a paper that has a date when you came into the country,
uh-huh,
date when you're supposed to leave the country. Well, with a permanent resident card, the one that's like a credit card, that one shows the date that you came into the country, but there is no end date.
Okay. Now you married and had children and raised a family here in California, right?
Yes.
You have, I think we talked to you, have grandchildren now, is that correct?
Yes.
And all the time you were not a citizen of this country, you were here on a permanent residency basis.
Yes.
You said that it costs a lot of money to become a citizen. Give me just a ballpark figure. How much does it cost?
Well, when I started my application, it was $400. It's gone up since then to $675.
And if you pay that money and you answer the proper questions, then you will receive a card saying, declaring that you're a citizen of the United States, right?
Yes.
That's your telephone, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, maybe you better answer it because they're not going to quit. You think they will?
The machine won't pick it up.
You want to tell them?
The machine will pick it up.
Tell them you're doing an interview. And... Buddy, you...
I'm sorry that you called.
You could hear that all over the house, couldn't you? One, two, three, four. We'll cover that, all that up. We've got all that covered up. We don't want anybody to hear that. Well, that's most interesting. Can you give me some examples of some of the questions? Do you remember any of them?
That were on the application or that were asked to me when I went for my review?
Well, let's do both. Ask for you when you went for your review, they before they ever let you fill out the questionnaire, they ask you questions?
Well, the whole process is kind of lengthy.
Okay.
The process begins with filling out a 10-page application asking for naturalized, asking to become a naturalized citizen.
Okay.
And that 10 pages covers, you know, the basic things, your name, your address, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it also asks your criminal background. It also asks about your, whether you've been married, whether you've been divorced, whether you've had children, how old your children are, where do your children live. It asks about... whether you've been out of the country since you applied for permanent residency, how many times, how long you were out of the country. It asks about there were so many things.
A lot of general questions about you, and of course they want to know if you've ever committed a felony, I guess, or if you use drugs or things like that.
Yes.
Because God knows we don't want any drug users in these United States as citizens. Heavens no. But now your children, by dint of the fact that they were born in the United States, they are citizens.
Yes, they are.
And your husband is a citizen of the United States.
My ex-husband is, and my current fiancé is. They both are.
They both are. That's right. You're planning to get married, aren't you?
Yes.
You know, I do so many of these that you forget things, but I do remember that. Now, you did that. You filled out this first one, and then you brought this other questionnaire home, and you filled it out, or you just studied it.
Well, what it is that once you fill that out, then they do things like the biometrics, which is fingerprinting, and then they take pictures of you.
Uh-huh.
And that's done like 4 months after the application is submitted.
Uh-huh.
And then once they're done with the biometrics, if they have any problems, that's when they contact you and ask you to do a background check.
Okay. Okay.
And then once you've done the background check, if there are no problems with the background check, then you have the interview, which is what I had.
Uh-huh.
And that interview consists of they'll ask you questions regarding your application. And then they also ask you questions regarding U.S. history, and U.S. government civics type of questions.
Okay.
And what they do is they give you a booklet to study, and the booklet has a total of 96 questions. But the problem is that you don't know which of the 96 questions they're going to ask you, so you have to be prepared, and you have to know all those 96 questions because you don't know which ones they're going to ask.
Mm-hmm. But like, how many of the 96 do they ask? Like 20 of them, or how many do they actually ask you?
They asked me about 5 or 6.
And I bet you answered them all absolutely correctly.
Oh yeah, I studied hard.
Okay, they do the interview, and is this you go and someone sits you down and interviews you? How long does that take?
It takes about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on your history.
And they ask you some general questions. Did they have to do a background check on you or not?
They didn't do one before, but they're asking for one now, and that's what I'm in the process of doing now. And they want you to go to the city police and the county sheriffs of every city that you've lived in within the last 5 years.
Now, so, have you lived in the same place the last 5 years or not?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
So I have to go to each city and each county sheriffs of every place that I've lived within the last 5 years.
Which is how many places?
Fortunately for me, this time it's only two.
It's only two, but you have to ask, what do you ask the county sheriff there? What do you ask those people?
You ask them to run a background check, and then what they do is they take down your basic information, like your California ID, license number.
Uh-huh.
And then they also ask you for your name and address. Height and weight and birth date. And then they take that basic information, they run it through their system, and if anything comes up, any arrests or any convictions or any court, anything having to do with a court, it'll show up in the background check. And fortunately, I don't have any of those things, so it's easy.
Well, all you have is you have a divorce. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for that's pretty easy because all I have to show is like the divorce decree. Yeah. So that's no big deal.
Yeah.
But if you have a criminal background where there are arrests involved, you have to go to each department.
Yeah.
Or where that criminal problem was run through.
Uh-huh.
So it's quite a bit more involved, and you have to get a sign off from each of those places saying that you followed through the process the way that you're supposed to.
But you don't have any of that. I mean, that's not going to be a problem for you.
Oh no!
You haven't robbed any banks or committed any felonies or done anything real bad. In the last few years.
No.
I didn't drink a little good whiskey. Probably that'd be about it.
What? Yeah, that's about it.
Well, listen, this is most interesting. I had no idea that. I guess it's never bothered you. Something that have you been thinking about doing this all your life or what?
Yes, I have, especially after my dad passed away. That's been more of a current thought to me because I'm not planning on going back to Holland, although I do have relatives that live there. But I have no plans at all to go back. I've got children here. I've got grandchildren here.
Yeah.
And I've made life for myself here. So it was just a matter of having the money at the time to go through the process.
Yeah. Can you still fluently speak the Dutch language?
Yes, I can.
You've kept that up. You still know that. So if you maybe you get to go back to Holland for a visit sometime.
Oh yeah, that would be wonderful. But really? my Dutch is rusty, but I still have it there.
Yeah.
You know, it's still there, but it's rusty.
All right. So there, as soon as this background check is complete, they will you will become a citizen. Will it kind of a swearing-in ceremony of some sort?
Yes, what they'll do is they'll send me a notification saying that they did get everything from the background check, and that then they will give me a date and a time to go to, and I believe that's done at the city hall.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll do a mass swearing in where they have several people at the same time that they swear in together.
Yeah. Well, let us know on the list when this happens and how everything goes, and keep us up. And we might want you to record that swearing-in ceremony. That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah. As long as they allow me to, that would be great.
Well, I think they will. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. Of course, governments are kind of funny about things. All right, honey, we're going to go and wish you good luck and glad to have you. I think you're an asset to the United States. We're glad to have you as a citizen.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
All right, I'll talk to you, Tina. Hi, everybody. It's Phil Park trying to start his old stopwatch here. It's Blind Like Me, and it's good to have you with us. Tim O'Brien is our guest. Tim, I just came back from the dentist, so if you don't talk too well, we'll understand.
All right, thank you.
How are you, sir? Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Doing fine.
And you're in, I think you said, is it North Carolina?
Yeah, in Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And we discussed your level of vision. You say at this moment you're at 2200.
Yep.
Which means you see at 200 feet what so-called normal people see at 200 feet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Or at 20 feet. I don't know how that works. Anyway, you got vision problems. You got eye problems. How did this...
Yep.
What is happening to you, if you don't mind? Why are you losing your vision?
Oh, I have a form of macular degeneration called Stargardt's disease. So yeah. I've had this since I was born.
Uh-huh.
But it's been slowly deteriorating ever since.
Was there ever a time when you could see what we call normally, like drive a car and stuff like that?
No, that's a funny story. When I was about 16, 17, I really wanted a driver's license, and the low vision aid specialist I went to said, well, there's some loopholes in the law, so I can sign some paperwork, and so you can get your license, but I'll only do that if you promise not to drive. So I was able to, with the low vision aid, I got 20/40 vision.
If you promise not to drive, we'll give you a driver's license. That's what a terrible thing to say to a poor teenage boy that wanted to drive worse than anything in the world, I guess, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So the last time I drove was for my driver's exam.
But you did drive then, but you haven't driven since. As good a vision as you got, I don't see how you keep from it, to going out and getting in the car and saying, I think I'll just run up here to the store.
No. And that when I became legally blind, they actually said I had to give up my license. It was basically useful for an ID.
Yeah.
When you're a teenager and you don't want to pull up.
The state of Texas issues one that I have a driver's license. Of course, I can't drive, but I'm totally blind.
Yeah.
But the state of Texas issues an ID thing that we can use. And so you've lived with this all your life, and I gather that you just did, I hate to keep using the word normal, but you went to just a regular school like the other kids in your neighborhood.
Yeah, when I went to public school up through eighth grade, and then I went to a private high school, which was crazy. There's no support. There was in the public school. There was no support in the Catholic high school I went to. I finally got some low vision aids going into my senior year, and I realized that, you know, for 4 years I'd been missing people writing on the board. So,
and it
stuck me in the front row in the vain hope that I could read, but I never could.
But you couldn't. You still couldn't see. I'm reading, writing on the board is pretty important in school. So, but you graduated, I guess, from this Catholic school, and did all right. Did you go to any college, or what did you?
I grew up in Boston, and I ended up going to the other side of the river to Cambridge, and went and got my undergrad.
Yeah, we were just in Boston. I say just in Boston. Last October, we got a couple of good friends that live up there, Tim and Cheryl Cummings. If you ever get back, you need to. So you went across the river and went to Boston Academy or what is it called?
No, I went to Harvard.
Oh, you went to Harvard?
Yeah.
Oh, what were you going to study? What did you study?
I studied economics.
Did you graduate from Harvard?
Yes, I did.
Man, listen, I'm going to hang up now. that's amazing. That is great. How was that as a partially blind person?
It was a challenge, but there was a lot of good people around, and they helped me when I needed it, mm-hmm. and left me alone when I wanted to be left alone, which was nice.
Which is very nice. Have you been able to, or do you work in your chosen field?
Yeah, I'm doing some graduate studies in economics now, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're still kind of going to school.
Yeah, well, I taught for a few years at a local college in Boston, and now I'm back in graduate school.
So you've had a good active life as a partially blind person. Is your vision getting worse, or is it stabilized, do you think? Or you think it's pretty much where it's going to be?
It got worse through my teenage years, and then it stabilized through when I was about 30, and it got worse around then. Went from about 21/20, whatever that means, in my better eye to 20/20/2200 to legal blindness, and that was what, 2-3 years ago now.
Huh?
So I've been dealing with worsening vision, and making it more and more difficult, and more reliance on low vision aids and my computer screen and screen reading programs, all that.
I gather from what you said when you first got an email from you that you don't really know many other, if any other, blind persons.
No, when I was growing up, my public school, that they never brought us all together to meet. I know that there were some other kids with similar disorders, and for some reason they never brought us all together. And so until I became legally blind a few years ago, it just never, it was never one of those things I did on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And so I've actually tried to get a little more involved with the blind community in the last few years, but that's only been recently.
Well, of course, now you've heard some Blind Like Me shows, and you found out that blind people do just all kinds of things. I first found you, or my wife actually found you. My wife posts pictures on this website called Flickr, FLIKER, just FLIKER, Flickr, and there are millions and millions of pictures up there. She has, I think, close to 1,000, and I'm sure you have a lot more than that. So you are a photography buff, correct?
Yep, it's my favorite hobby.
You didn't study that in college, but you love taking pictures.
Yeah, I didn't actually pick it up until like 5 or 6 years ago, until you could sort of edit your pictures on the computer, because you can take them home, you blow them up really large in the computer screen.
Yeah.
It's amazing when I take pictures of. I come home and I see something that I didn't see when I was taking the picture. Right? So the camera's always seeing things for me.
Do you have Adobe Photoshop, or what do you use?
I have another one of the Adobe programs called Lightroom.
Yeah.
But it's all the same. They do all the same thing.
I bought her Adobe Photoshop for her birthday a year ago, my wife, and the full version. And she's just loves it. So, and you have on this Flickr, on this website, tell us about when you first came, you didn't think there'd be any other partially blind photographers.
Nope. And so I said, well, somebody had suggested that I send my pictures up there and see what other people had to say. And I just said, well, just for the heck of it, let's see if there are any other people out there who are visually impaired, or blind and are trying to take pictures. And it's quite a group from all over the world. They got people from England. They got a lot of people from the States, people from other countries. And have varying degrees of sight, all sorts of different visual problems, right? So that everybody has their own perspective. It's very interesting.
And a lot of them are interested in photography.
Yep.
I can't see a totally blind person doing that, but there are thousands and millions of partially sighted people. And you say you have more than 100 people in your club now?
There's, I think, 60 now or 62.
Oh, 62. Well, it'll be 100 after this show. You watch.
I think so.
I hope so. I certainly do. What? My wife says you take very nice pictures. What is your favorite topic to take photographs of?
People and people's faces.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's what I like to, and whenever I can find a subject who won't like my wife is not a big fan of my taking her picture, and neither is my mom. So I have to find other people who are willing to let me take their picture. But that's my favorite thing, to try to get close ups of people's faces.
My wife is an avid photographer, but she won't she doesn't let people take pictures of her very often.
Yep.
She doesn't like that, like your wife. Now, is your wife sighted?
Yes.
She drives a car.
Yep.
And
she's my chauffeur.
She's your chauffeur. Me too. I got the same thing. I can't go to the grocery store without Mama taking me. And it doesn't bother me anymore. I've gotten used to it. And and so do you have children?
Nope.
No kids yet.
Maybe. No kids yet. Hopefully someday.
This means you get to spend more money on cameras and things like that. That's
exactly.
That's the way that works. Well, you seem to be going along, having a good life. I tell you what, let's do. Let's your pictures. How would someone who types in FLIKR .org? How do they get to your pictures?
It's actually FLIKR.
Uh-huh.
And so if they go to the Flickr, they can search for my username, and it's a combination of my last name and the word paparazzi. It's my wife made it up.
Okay.
So it's Oberazzi, Oberazzi. And so my wife thinks I'm a paparazzi taking pictures all the time.
Oberazzi.
Yeah, so that's my Flickr username.
And someone goes and types that in after they get to Flickr, they can see many, many of the pictures that you have taken, of a lot of pictures of people.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a link there to your club that you have got going, your photography club for blind people.
Yeah, if you go to Flickr and you go to their search box and you type in blind photographers, the group will pop right up.
See, that's just amazing. I had no idea, and I learned so much. I've gained, because I had no idea there was a blind photography group. I'd never thought about it there being, and I'm sure you have one, and I'm sure there are others, but we want folks to go look at yours. So go to Flickr and the blind photography, and you can join the group if you're a blind photographer, and you can go look at Tim's pictures. Give us your give it one more time, because I've forgotten it.
Yeah, it's a Oberazzi, Oberazzi, and it's on Flickr.com, FLIKR.com.
Flickr, FLIKR.com, and go up there and look at some pictures, and if you're a photographer, join the club. And is there a link to get in touch with you if someone wanted to correspond with you there?
Yep. It's right when you go to the Flickr photos page, there's a page called Profile, and that has a link to access me.
If someone wants to talk with you or email back and forth with you about cameras and about photography and things like that, they could do that. Tim, I want to thank you, sir. I don't know when I'll run this, but I'll give you an email and let you know when you're going to be the star of the Blind Like Me show.
Well, I really appreciate your getting in contact with me and talking with me.
Thanks, Tim. And I'll talk to you.
All right. Take
care. Bye-bye. Well, hello there. Welcome to another Blind Like Me. It's Phil Parr, and it's cold in Texas this morning. It's this is being recorded on Wednesday, Tuesday, rather, the 15th of April. And when I got up this morning in April, it was 49 degrees in Texas. No, 39 degrees. That's cold for April, isn't it? Where are you? Jeff Ballack is our guest, by the way. And we had you on before. When was it? Do you remember?
I know I was on here. It was like 2 years ago when I was still at college in Montana State University, Billings.
2 years ago.
Yes.
My, it's 2 years ago. A lot's happened in 2 years, hasn't it?
Yep.
A whole lot of things happened in 2 years. You're not in college anymore, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina in November 2007.
Let's get back earlier than that. Your level of vision is what now? You're totally blind?
Yes, I'm totally blind.
And have you been like that all your life?
Yes, I was born blind.
So how old are you?
I'm 28.
28, and you've been blind all 28 of those 20 years, I guess.
Yes, yes.
What caused your blindness? Do you have any idea? Does anybody know why you're blind?
The doctors gave me too much oxygen, and I had retinal fibroplasia.
Well, as we've talked before, we've had lots of people on that had that same, maybe not exactly that same condition, but if they gave them oxygen, they had to give them the oxygen to live, but by doing that, they lost the use of their eyes. And so that's what happened to you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's see, you're 28, so you were born in 1980. Is that right?
Yes, I was. Yes.
So you would think by then they would have figured some way to prevent that from happening to children. But where were you born? Where's your place of birth?
I was born in Pocatello, Idaho.
Boy, it's cold up there, isn't it?
I'm not sure. It probably is.
I bet it is right now. I bet it's freezing cold up there right now in Idaho. I can't imagine being up there. So when you were a little kid, 6, 7 years old, 5 years old, they decided to send you to school. Where did they send you to school?
actually, when I was 3 years old, I think I was in Layton, Utah, and actually I went to the Utah School for the Blind.
The Utah School for the Blind. Well, your father moved around a lot. Was he in the Army, or what was the deal? Why did you worry about moving?
First we were in Idaho from 1980 through 81.
Oh.
And then from 1982 through 84, we moved to Layton, Utah, which is close to Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh.
And he, my dad actually worked at the Metal Gold Dairy in Salt Lake City.
So you didn't live that far from Salt Lake City then, huh?
No, maybe like 20 to 30 miles, I think.
Okay. And you didn't stay in Utah very long. I mean, you didn't stay in Utah very long, did you?
Right, only about 3 years.
And then you moved to where?
To Kansas. And I was in Kansas from 1985 to about 2000.
Man, you've lived all over. So they sent you first to the Utah School for the Blind. I don't think we ever had anybody from the Utah School for the Blind. What was that like? Did you learn Braille, I guess, there? And
actually, I think I learned some Braille, yeah. And I don't remember how long I was at the Utah School for the Blind.
But not very long if you only lived there.
Probably not very long, no.
So you moved to Kansas, and then you said you went to... Where did you graduate high school?
I graduated high school at Manhattan High School. That was in Manhattan, Kansas. But I only went to that school for 1 year because I was in high school for 3 years in Topeka, Kansas.
Really? But did you go to blind school in Kansas or what?
I actually did go to the Kansas State School for the Blind in Kansas City for a couple of their summer programs.
Yeah.
I remember taking some classes, I think in the summer of 96, I think it's when it was.
Yeah.
And then in 96 and 98, I was at the Kansas State School for the Blind in the summer for their employment program, I think is what it was.
Now, do you remember the first, because you were born in 1980, do you remember the first talking computer you saw that was set up for blind people?
I don't think I do, no.
Well, you do have a talking computer, though, right?
I do, yeah. And I think I've probably actually had a talking computer since I would say the mid-80s.
Yeah, I think so. We had kind of voice programs then. They weren't very good, but we did begin sort of to have talking computers. So You really don't much remember, I guess, back before. Do you remember before we had cell phones? I guess so, because you were 10 years old when we started having cell phones and talking computers and all this technology stuff came along.
Right, and I remember the Internet came around in the early 90s, I think.
Yeah, early 90s. We were on the Internet in 92. We were on a little thing called the Genie Network. That was a long, long time ago. And so you graduated you may have said, what school? You graduated public school?
Yes, I graduated from public school. And in high school, it was at Manhattan High School in Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
All right. When did you first, I think you said in college you studied sports management. Didn't you tell me that? Isn't that right?
Yes, I did.
How did you get interested in sports as a kid? You're totally blind. You couldn't play football. You couldn't play baseball. You couldn't play soccer. You couldn't. How did that come about?
Well, my dad and I actually went to a lot of ball games together, football and basketball games, and I just became real interested in watching sporting events on TV and listening to them on the radio.
And what's your favorite sport? You like baseball?
I like baseball, basketball, football, and I like actually playing golf. Not really watching it on TV, but I like playing golf, and I like going to hockey games. Mm-hmm. Although I really don't understand hockey all that much.
Yeah. How do you play golf? How do you? Somebody has to help you play with you play golf, right?
Yeah, somebody has to help me when I play golf. Then I walk up on the close to the green, and then my dad tells me where to drop the ball, and I chip it up under the green, and then he kind of tells me how far to putt the ball. You know, if it's 10 or 20 feet away from the pin.
Yeah, from the cup.
Yeah, from the cup. Mm-hmm. And he tells me how hard to hit it. You know. And,
yeah.
And I like it. Like playing golf.
Yeah, it's out in the sun. It's outside. I guess that would be fun. I never thought. I'm kind of miffed as to. Of course, we talked to a guy that was president of the. You know, there's a Blind Golfers Association.
Mm-hmm.
Or did you know? Are you a member?
Yeah, I think I read something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a guy on one time that was the president of the Blind Golfers Association, and then. And then about a year ago, that blind lady did a hole in one. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't get to interview her, but she did. Anyway, so you got interested in sports and you went to college where now?
At Montana State University in Billings.
Why did you choose Montana State University?
Because my parents were actually. Living in Montana, you know, they had their truck accessory business, and actually they're still in Montana now.
They had what kind of business?
It's a truck accessory business. They sell and install anything you could want on a truck or a sport utility vehicle, like grill guards and step bars and that kind of thing.
Oh, and that's what your dad does now.
Yeah, but they're really wanting to try to sell the business because they've had it since 2001.
Uh-huh.
And they want to move up to Charlotte, North Carolina, or somewhere close to Charlotte, maybe an hour away from Charlotte.
Somewhere closer to you?
Well, yeah, so they can see me and my sister more often.
And your sister lives there. Do you live with your sister?
No, I don't live with my sister. I only live like 5 minutes away, though, from her.
So she would be available to help you if you needed assistance in anything?
Yes, she would be.
What did they teach a person, sports management? Is this a four-year degree or two-year degree? What is it? How does that work?
It's a four-year degree.
And you got one?
Yes, I did.
All right. What sort of classes did you take as a freshman? Do you have to take? I guess you have to take the regular things that all degrees require, like English and math and all that. Also, right? You have to take those.
In my freshman year, I actually took my general education requirements. You have to have like a science and a social science, and there's writing requirements and math requirements, and And then later on, like I think in my senior year, I remember taking an online legal aspects of sports class.
Uh-huh.
Talked about sports law, basically.
That's in your senior year?
Yes, it was, actually.
In your senior year of college. What sorts of other things do they teach sports management? The idea of this is to teach you how to work in the front office at a sports team. Am I correct or not?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose for the degree.
For the degree, yes, it is. Yeah.
And so they would want you to learn what? I mean, what did they teach you that concerned sports management?
Like how to promote them, promote events for the
okay.
athletic department at the college, you know.
How to promote events? Like how? Give me some examples of that.
Kind of like get people to if the attendance is down at a basketball game, try to find ways to increase. Attendance, both by students and faculty.
Well, of course, when you get out, you won't be dealing with students. You'll be dealing with adults.
Right.
Give me some examples of how would you increase attendance. Give me a couple things that you might do to get more kids and more folks to come to see your sporting event.
I guess I would probably hire some musicians, maybe even to play at halftime of a basketball game or something. Get a rock and roll band to play at halftime of a basketball game. That would get the fans excited, I think.
Yeah. Well, you think rock and roll would get them excited? To come to your, that would keep me away. I don't like rock and roll. Of course, I'm old and I'm not going anyway, so you don't have to worry about people like me. But in the real world, what would you do? Would that be about the same thing? You might offer free hot dogs or what? I mean, that's,
offering, discounts on, ticket prices, you know, free hot dogs, free concessions.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I even actually did a, in my public relations class, I even did a survey where I talked to several students and faculty members about how to increase attendance at our athletic sporting events.
Oh, so you went around and did interviews with these people and asked them what they think would help increase attendance?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
How did you? Go ahead.
I pretty much said the same things. You know, get discounts on tickets and have free hot dogs and free concessions,
yeah.
And have good entertainment.
I'd like to have a free hot dog right now, as a matter of fact, if somebody has one. So, I'm trying to figure out what you did for 4 years in college. It's what I'm trying to get down to. What else did they teach you? I guess a lot of business practices, like how to negotiate contracts. Did they teach you that with sports guys or not?
Well, not really with sports, but I do remember I took a business law class, and we actually did talk about different types of contracts and different like types of legal terminology. And I think that's pretty important in sports also.
Well, it's pretty important. It's pretty important to begin with. They taught you different legal terms sports law? Like, what? Give me an example of some things they might teach you in sports law. Like what?
I'm trying to remember. I think we talked about about different types of legal cases.
Yeah.
And I don't remember really what any of them any of them were.
Obviously, they didn't impress you too well.
Not really.
I'm trying to figure out what you did for 4 years. In college, I'm trying to figure out what you studied. I'm trying to get a handle on what would a degree in sports management. I can kind of understand that. What do you think you can do with this degree? It's nice to have a degree, but if you can't use it to get a job, what do you think you're going to be able to do? What would you like to do today? If they gave you your wish today, what would you like to happen today?
I would say I would like to work for the probably maybe try to get an entry level job with the Charlotte Bobcats, maybe get like an internship going.
Mm-hmm.
Just to learn about the operation and how it works, how they operate.
Just to be in the front office and learn what actually goes on there, because you've never been in the front office of a sports franchise or a Charlotte has what kind of teams? They don't have a baseball team, do they?
They have a minor league baseball team, and they have a NBA team and an NFL team.
Do they?
Yep, and a minor league hockey team.
How big a city is Charlotte?
I actually don't know the population, but I think it's pretty big. I know it's bigger than Lewistown, where my parents are living right now. They have stores there and kind of a good sized airport and that kind of thing and some good restaurants.
What kind of joints?
Restaurants.
Wrap joints.
Restaurants. Like going to places you would eat.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Why did you move there? Because your sister lived there?
Because my sister lives there. Yep. And so I could hang out with her mostly.
And you're out on your own in an apartment of your own now?
That's right, yes.
Getting your SSI or whatever they give us every month? Well, have you applied some places for entry level jobs as an intern?
I haven't really applied for. I've tried to apply for like sports management jobs, but actually, it seems to me I'm not really getting anywhere with that yet. But I am doing some volunteer work.
Like what kind of volunteer work?
To kind of get me going, I'm reading to little kids and talking to them about Braille and because I think little kids like to know what Braille is.
You're reading to sighted children,
to
sighted kids.
To sighted kids, mostly to preschool kids, 6 and under.
And you're reading in Braille. You're reading Braille to them.
Yes, I'm actually reading twin vision books. I think you know what twin vision books are. Right?
I do not know. You tell me.
Oh, you don't know what twin
vision books are? No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
Just ignorant in that area. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think basically they're books that you could get in Braille or print, and they're actually free to blind people. It's a free matter for the blind thing. I'm sure you heard about Free Matter for the Blind.
Well, I get talking books all the time, tapes from the National Library Service that are sent Free Matter.
Right.
And what did you call them? Twin Vision?
Twin Vision.
What are they? They books for children?
Yes, books for children. Mm-hmm. And the books that I'm reading are Dr. Seuss books, you know, like Green Eggs and Ham and Spooky Little Puppy and and those types of books.
Yeah, you're a pretty good Braille reader then.
I sure am. Mm-hmm.
Could you use Braille every day? Braille is a big part of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I read sports magazines in Braille. I have, like, ESPN, the magazine.
Uh-huh.
Basically, I really use my, computer for email, and I instant message my mom and dad every day at their office in Lewistown, so.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever tried, like, instant messaging? Do you know what that is?
I do know what instant messaging is. I'm not that old. I know what instant messaging is. I don't do it, but I have it. And my grandchildren do it all the time. I know about instant messaging. And so, but you haven't really applied to any teams there to be an intern at one of their sports teams there in Charlotte.
Not yet. Although I actually did go to a Charlotte Bobcats career fair back on February 22nd to ask them about applying for internships, and they said, "Well, really, they've already had them for this year, but maybe next year I could probably get an internship with them."
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're about out of time. We're going to go. If you get an internship with them, do it a few months and then call me. Or email me, and let's see what it's like. I'd like to know what they have you doing as a blind person, as an intern. That would be, I think, quite interesting. Could you do that?
I sure could, Phil.
All right. Jeff Ballack has been our guest. Jeff, we're going to go, and let us know when you get a job, okay, or get an internship.
Okay.
All right. Thanks much. Don't forget about our gathering coming up in October 24th. That's a Friday, 25th, 26th, and 27th. We're going to gather in Houston and party down. If you like to party, of course, my age, I can't do too much partying, but we'd like to have you come and be with us. We'll have details on that, so start saving your nickels and dimes and come and join us in Houston, Texas, and come be a guest on the show. Phil Parr, all one word, at Consolidated, CONSOLIDATED.net. We'd love to hear from you. Come to us, either one of the shows, Blind Handyman or Blind Like Me. Thanks for visiting with us, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.